Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny. Hello.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Night. And as always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, what have you been watching this week?
Oh, what have I been?
Because you're the only one that watched anything this week.
I saw Barb and Star go to White Castle. I mean, Vista Del Mar is what I had to say per your suggestion. And it was great. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a fun time watching it. I just like very, you know, is irreverent the right word for this movie? I had a very Austin Powers feel to it too.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
It was fun. It was good. Yeah. I especially like the Trish character.
Trish character.
For anybody that watches the movie, there's a character named Trish that you only see until the end, but.
To kind of like.
But it's a very.
Okay. So, yeah. To kind of like, we'll just get spoilers. I don't care. We'll just spoil the whole movie. But yeah, no, Trish. Trish, early in the movie, they mention Trish as they create this whole backstory character, their friend Trish, yeah, and how amazing she is.
It started off with, you know what I was just thinking about? And it was they have like that weird relationship where she's like, I don't know, were you thinking about how you can't think of any celebrities named Trish? Yes, and it's my favorite name. And they're like, both saying, oh my God, Trish is my favorite name. And I can't think of any celebrities named Trish. And then they just start going off, and what, it's the entire plane ride. They're having the same fucking conversation. Like, they cut, right? I was telling Georgie, I was like, dude, I would be going insane if I sat right behind them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, please shut the fuck up about this. You don't even know this person. But they do, because Trish saves him at the end.
Trish saves him at the end, yeah.
As like a Deus Ex Machina sort.
Yeah, like comes out of nowhere. You have a certain like celebrity guest just show up and be Trish. So it's really funny. But I really liked, what's his name? Jamie Dorian? He was excellent.
Yeah, he was really good. He was really good. I like the kid, too. The kid that they have that's a bad guy. Oh,
Yeah. He's really good. Yeah, it was a fun movie. It was funny.
Yeah. That was good. It was very good. I enjoyed the sex scenes. I thought were very funny just because...
sex scenes.
There was, like, no... I mean, first of all, they were just funny, but there was no... awkward tension whatsoever between any of the characters after they slept with each other, right? It just like happened.
Yeah,
there
was. Yeah.
And they talk about it all the time. Yeah, it was funny.
And I like how afterwards they try to both go after that Jamie Dorian character and they go on the exact same date. They go on the exact same date. Super funny. Yeah.
And they both come up with the same lie about a fucking sea turtle appearing wherever they're at.
Yeah.
Except Kristen Wiggs was like, oh, I saw a sea turtle. Like, oh, you did? And, God, what's the other actress's name?
Annie.
I don't remember. I feel bad. I mean, she was brilliant.
Yeah.
She was easily my favorite part of the movie. She's like, oh, yeah, well, that was because she was supposed to be taking a bath, but she snuck out the window, right? And she came back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I was taking a bath. It was fine. I saw a baby sea turtle in the tub. And she makes up a lie yeah. about seeing a baby sea turtle, too. But then at the end of the movie, when they're having, like, a supercut of all the memories they had together, one of the memories was a sea turtle inside of the bathtub.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Great film.
It's just so irreverent. To us
like, yeah. Imagine people listening to us like, how is any of this funny? You're just bad at describing stuff. And then there was a turtle.
Yeah. Baby turtle.
Yeah. And that was a punchline.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those movies that you have to watch to kind of get. To describe and talk about any of this stuff, anything that's going on in the movie, it's kind of just not doing it justice in a way. You know what I mean? Because it's really one of those movies that just makes sense as you watch it, but it's kind of tough to explain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I wonder what people thought of when they read the script for the first time, you know?
They were like... They just like wide-eyed and be like, I guess they wrote Bridesmaids? Yeah. Let's give up money.
They're like, well,
this is like their.
You guys are producing this, so whatever, as long as you pay us.
They probably were like, yeah, just give a. You know what I mean? They probably just were just like, I guess you did Bridesmaids. Give me Bridesmaids.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're Wonder Woman, right? Like, no, I'm in Wonder Woman. Oh. What part do you play? Cat lady.
Yeah.
No, in Wonder Magical Woman 1984, she was one of the better parts of the film, I think.
I guess. It's just that character is so undercooked. Oh, but yeah, that's a whole new story.
It's undercooked and then overcooked. And then she stays alive somehow, right?
You're talking about Pedro Pascal's tan, like his fucking...
What was his fucking slogan? If you can remember. Dream it, I don't remember. Yeah, he kept saying it throughout the whole movie, and then I forgot it at the end, which made me think.
Well,
they were trying to make it like a catch line thing.
You know? Yeah, yeah. The only thing I remember is his hair. That too. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, that's
speaking of disappointing superhero projects. You said you also saw a WandaVision finale, so
oh yeah, yeah.
You want to dig through that?
I did. I had like one problem with it, and I couldn't think of
only one. Okay, one.
Yeah. Yeah, because I really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. But I don't know. I forgot what bothered me about the way it ended. Aside from White Vision just disappearing, which I know they're probably saving that for something, but he just like disappeared. Right? Or did I miss
something? Where did he went to space, right? He went back to his own planet, never to be seen again.
He made himself all blue, and he gave himself an Xbox power button on his forehead, right? And he called himself Nurse New York.
Nurse New York. Lawyer Manhattan.
But I thought that was weird. I was like, oh, okay, well. What was stopping the visions from merging? Unless White Vision was like, I can't do this.
I think Vision existed as a real thing in that little hex bubble thing Wanda created. As soon as that thing went away, he would no longer exist. Something like that. I don't know. That's what I got from it. And, you know, I called what was going to happen. I was telling my fiance, like, episode 2 or 3. Oh, I was like, oh, okay, she's going to have come to terms with her grief of losing Vision and being alone. And then she's going to, you know, eventually, like, fly off or go off somewhere else. But then, you know, the internet decided to create this, like, amazing freaking labyrinth of, like, things to happen. And then, like, the X-Men are starting. Doctor Strange is going to show up. Miss Marvel is going to show up. Wanda's going to create all of the X-Men and freaking all the multiverses all at once. None of that happened.
It was like, sorry to disappoint you guys, but it's a TV series, and they have Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, Randall Park, Kat Dennings.
Uh-huh.
They can't afford anyone else. There's no one else to afford.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I did Catherine read that, Hunt, of course, but like,
yeah. I did read that they had to scale down the finale because of COVID, and they couldn't get Kat Dennings and a lot of the side characters like Monica Rambeau or whatever to shoot. So that's why a lot of it is just like Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, Catherine Hahn. It's just like very small cast of people.
I mean, there's still
so they
a
had
lot to
like rewrite
digest.
The. Mm-hmm. They had to like rewrite the last part of it. That's why Kat Dennings only in that one scene where she like crashes into the whatever the bad guy from Sword. She crashes the Hummer into the. And there really wasn't. She wasn't in another scene on the episode. So.
Oh, I forgot that. I remember the major thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Making, mm-hmm. What's his name? Evan, fucking American Horror Story kid, making him not Quicksilver, not a Pietro, or not a Peter, right?
Yeah, not a Peter,
It didn't make any sense to me. Like, what a weird thing to introduce and, like, tease fans with. And like, no, this is actually an actor in this world. And it's like, what? Why? Just to have that shock value of a cameo. And it was kind of, that annoyed me.
Yeah, I think the producers were saying they weren't ready for people to interpret it that way. They wanted it to be kind of an in-joke / trying to get across that because of her grief. She like, sometimes they accept people create a reality. They accept because they accept things that they've lost in their life. Kind of like, this is a weird comparison, but like in The Simpsons, when you find out Skinner is not really Skinner, he just plays Skinner. And then the mom just accepts him because she doesn't have her son. Does that make sense?
I remember that.
So it's like a weird connection or whatever. And so that's why they write it off to like, the mom never saying anything because she lost her son, but this Skinner showed up and she just kind of accepts him. It's the same idea, essentially, like because she lost Peter and she didn't have anybody, she just accepted this Peter to be the Peter that was her brother.
Yeah, I mean, which I could understand that, but then it could have been anyone, right?
Yeah, I think somebody pointed out that like to just equate it to just basically like a boner joke. His name was Richard Boner.
Yeah, Dick Boner. Yeah.
It's kind of just, it's kind of like a deflating thing. And they're like, oh, Marvel spent $7.1 million on dick jokes.
and also, I guess Catherine Hahn had the ability to give him superpowers, you know? I mean, Agatha should just...
I guess so.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he had super speed. And he knew, like, everything about the world. And I don't know. It was strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, yeah.
But now it's over and it's on to Sebastian and...
what?
Winter Soldier and Falcon. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. God, yeah. I don't know why it's such a difficult me to remember. Because I'm always like, yeah, Bucky.
It is. I don't know why. I don't know.
I don't know. It looks fun. I was showing.
No, go ahead.
I was showing Georgie the trailer for The Thing. And then after it was done, I told her, and this is supposed to be an episodic. This is not a feature film. You know, it's like shot like it's really expensive. Like everything about it looks super expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that they're behind on the shooting on that that show too. So that's why they're kind of giving it a little bit of a break right now between WandaVision and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They kind of just because I guess they're still in like post on some episodes and they're still like trying to like finish, get as much finished before the first episode airs.
And then right after that is what? The Loki?
They could.
Show?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I'm not sure what's after that one. It might be Loki.
All right. I guess we should get into this movie about a family that loses their baby, right? I'm just kidding. That's just... It seems like a part of it was about losing a baby, and I was like, oh, man, what if they just, like, you know, kept a beeper on that thing, which actually reminds me, I guess we should break for a word from our sponsor, right?
Word from our sponsor. Yeah.
Oh shit. Where is it? Not again. Fuck. Okay. Where was the last place you put it? Shit. Are you like me, always losing the most important things?
Hon, did you lose the baby again?
No. Okay, yes.
Did you remember to use the baby track?
Oh, right. There you are. Aw. Use baby track. Your all-in-one tracking device for your little ones.
One more thing, hon.
Yes, my love.
Did you call our baby an it?
Baby track. Remember not to call him its. And we're back. Whoa, I should probably invest in one of those for my partner. That was a sexist joke, I think. Would you purchase a baby track for your kitten and your bunny?
Yes, absolutely. Without question.
Nice. It's got a very lovely tone to it too. Like,
they never leave the house. I see them every day. I don't let any of them outside, but I would like a tracker either way.
Because your walls are white, right? And both your animals are white, so they could potentially just stand very still and never know where they're at. Yeah. Except for all the hair.
Well, I mean, the hair's everywhere. We're invested with hair. But, I want to know what they do at night. So,
Where are you?
Okay. So John, do you have the plot in 5 words?
Johnny,
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. And here you go. I got the 4.
All right, 4.
Let's see. Which we have our sound cue, right? I mean, we've had our sound cue. This isn't new. I mean, coming in at number 4 for the night, not called The Visit, which I kept labeling everything The Visit. I don't know why I'm so bad with movie titles. Coming in at number 4, I have Toothache, One Hell of a Drug. Because I'm assuming this whole movie happens because of a toothache.
Ah.
I got, coming in at number 3, Baby Plays the Straight Man. And number 2, I have Family Learns America's Fucking Haunted. And in number 1, And coming in at number one, a man pisses off wrong cat.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little concerned because the first two weren't like they weren't smashing at me. You know what I mean? But the last two, reeled it home. Got it. Loved them.
No, the first two are like those appetizers you get, but you're like out of Chili's, so they're going to be shitty appetizers. And then when you finally get the main course, you're like, at least I'm drunk.
At least I'm drunk, yeah. So, the night. Do you want to give your first thoughts?
Yeah. So, I liked it.
Uh-huh.
I just have a lot of questions about what really happened, but I'm sure you're not really supposed to know, right?
Yeah.
It really does play like one of those movies. It's a very art house film.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it all takes place at night, which is surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's called The Visit, a.k.a. The Night. No, I thought it was pretty cool. I liked that there weren't any jump scares in this movie. It's like a lot of slow burn. You know what's going on, sort of.
Uh-huh.
And I'm assuming it's all taking place in purgatory.
Oh.
That's one of my guesses.
Classic purgatory.
Yeah. But I mean, I did like it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. This hotel is really concerned about their marriage. So really wants to know.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's one of my questions, but I don't know. That would be going into spoilers, sort of. Even though like I think like within the first 20 or 30 minutes, you kind of figured out what's going on with at least one part of the story.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a little bit of a problem with the wife's side of her whole deal.
Okay. Yeah.
I understand it's supposed to be about grief and stuff, but we'll talk about that in due time.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, we have all the night.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I really liked it. I thought I like that it's set up. It's about relationships and couples and the things and secrets we don't tell. I mean, that of course, hits close to home. I mean, both of us are in relationships and stuff like that. So that definitely.
Yeah. We have a shit ton of secrets.
Yeah. And, I like the way it was playing out, you know, like just a normal night you have. And when you're in the very beginning, they're out with other couples and stuff like that. And you kind of see the dynamics of their relationship and how they appear to their friends and stuff like that, and how their friends appear to them and stuff like that. So I thought that was a nice little introduction before we get to like the scary, spooky stuff.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a fun like build up to it. And I think
real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Did that American woman throw you? She threw me when she first started talking.
Oh yeah.
I was like, yeah. What? But apparently like their friend, the doctor, is married to an American woman.
Right. She was new, right? She was like
new, yeah, fairly new
to
trying to learn she knew the language really well. Like she knew Farsi very well.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to learn the dishes and stuff. So like, I don't know. I guess what they're trying to do is show that they have communication. There's no communication within their relationship. And then there was like that other woman. Who was she? Like the sister of the guy?
I don't know. I don't think it was exactly spelled out. I just thought there were another couple. They might have been. I don't.
Yeah, but you remember it was the two couples,
mm-hmm.
right? The main couple, and then the dude's friend, his American wife, and then there was like one additional person.
The doctor? or
not the doctor. Maybe there was two extra people.
I don't know. I thought it was
honestly that part of the story is not important though, so it doesn't matter. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, what they're talking about, but those extra characters didn't seem to matter at all.
And I like the way it kind of starts off with, like, they're just having a fun night out. They go home and he's a little drunk and his tooth's been hurting and he's like, oh no, I'm going to drive. I think we've all been that guy. So, so
especially with having a toothache and you're like, oh, the only way to ease this pain is smoking more.
Yeah. But yeah, they end up having to go to a hotel and then all this like scary, spooky stuff kind of starts taking off after that. And I think in terms of like scares, I think it's fairly simplistic, but I thought like it was done incredibly confidently as like a stylish, like psychological horror movie.
Yeah. So I mean, especially, I was going to say right before they hit the hotel, they have that whole, what happens? Like he misses an exit. Why does he like flip around?
The GPS is going crazy. Yeah.
And he's also drunk. So he's like being aggressively reckless about it. Right. And he like, it like spins the car around, which, sorry, if you hear me getting text messages, I don't know why. So nobody ever texts me all day. And then all of a sudden, okay. So he stops the car. They're like somewhere dingy LA, right?
Yeah.
And he's driving. Oh, no, that's when the first spooky thing happens. There's like a cat or something that looks like it might be a cat. I actually went back and paused it to see if I could get a better picture of it. It's not really clear, but you understand it's a cat later. And it's also a silhouette of a person behind it. And it looks like... So he runs over the cat, but then the cat isn't there and there's nothing wrong with the bumper. But the wife also saw it, right? Because the wife's like, oh, get out and check.
She heard it, yeah, and they hit something, yeah.
So they get out and then she's like, oh, I need to change the baby. And I was like just looking at the surrounding area and I was like, oh, dude, like, okay. I'm just going to assume that they moved to LA like a week before because... No, that is not the place to do that. It was like that part of LA. Like, not there. No. And then that's when he gets convinced to go to a hotel, right?
Yeah.
Hotel Normandy.
In K-Town?
Yeah.
Is that where K-Town. They were?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they shouldn't have been stopped anywhere there.
Not in K-Town.
Not in K-Town. Jeez.
Because everything closes too early. Nah, just joking. That's the only important thing. You can't get fast food unless you want Carl's Jr. or a 24-hour pho place. So maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, that's kind of what kicks it off. And then they start to have like their own individual visions of what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wife sees the first one.
Yeah, which is like a little kid, right?
Yeah, the little boy calling for her mommy, running around the hotel.
And he never sees that. In fact, I don't think either of them ever see each other's visions, right?
They hear the little boy. Oh, they both hear the little boy, yeah.
And then, I don't know why it's all complicated in my head. I think it's because I started drinking. he is having visions of a woman that I don't think he gets a clear view of until later, right?
Yeah. And that's definitely the part that I think we should definitely like get into spoilers. Because there's a lot of like things to unravel about that, I think. Who she was and like, how she related to the plot.
Yeah. It connects to the beginning conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then he's also like seeing his wife. I think he sees his wife twice, which I thought was kind of weird that they used the same gag twice.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, they did.
It's like, oh, it's not his wife. In fact, it was a ghost or something. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
When things like this happen, I'm always like trying to see how they behave. Because are they behaving like real people, or are they behaving like this is the script?
Yeah.
And I felt that was kind of the one thing that annoyed me. Was the fact that they just wanted to always set that damn baby down everywhere.
I know, which is why they probably needed a baby track, right?
Because, oh my God, if one scary, spooky thing would happen to me, I don't think I would let go of my baby or let my wife go anywhere. So, let alone,
I would get the fuck out of that hotel.
I would get the fuck out of that hotel.
Yeah. Also because what the concierge who was like fine at the beginning started to get weirder and weirder.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What was his deal? Then,
Jesus. Like he was playing like he was some sort of, I don't want to say devil, but like, or not an angel either. Just this, this like being weird that existed to witness things, I guess.
Just to make you feel really awkward.
Yeah, or because he has this whole conversation about being there when
all this bad shit happened.
Yeah, like when people died, and he's like, the worst is when it's a child. When a child dies, it's unbearable. Blah blah blah. And I was like,
wink,
oh, wink,
wink. He like, it was really weird. He like looked directly at the camera and just winked, and then he's like, put a hand inside of his mouth and was like, you're gonna want to remember that part for later. Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, how did he know I was a child? I was like, I'm not a child. What is, oh man, this movie's got me just sucked in.
Yeah. I think also, like you said, I think they run too many of the same gags, too many of the same like build up suspenseful things. They never really like brought it, like they really never really like progressed it fast enough, I thought. Like, I think it dwells a little too much.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Specifically, like, the whole cop scene. There was so awkward. When, in fact, I thought they were trying to say something, like, kind of socially say something there about...
I thought so, too.
That about how an Iranian couple calls the cops, and it's, like, clearly they cast, like, a white cop, a typical, you know, white... How would you expect a cop to look like? A white guy, you know, shaved head, everything muscular, comes and answers the door. And you just think that, oh, okay, they're going to socially kind of say something here about how, you know, the prejudices that cops and Iranian people might have against each other, why they won't be able to communicate with each other. Right. But that was a little disappointing because I felt like the cop and the dialogue was just really awkward. And really, like,
he was
bleeding.
Like, low-key, he was a little bit bad, too, right? So,
and I thought maybe it was on purpose. Like, yeah. I was like, no way this guy's, like, a real cop. This,
yeah. But you're right, he wasn't. He wasn't a real anything, I guess.
Yeah, this is another attempt at a scare, I guess.
Yeah.
Because
the last thing you see him do is he whispers to, well, not whispers, but, like, tells the wife...
let me hold your baby.
Yeah, let me hold your baby. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, yeah, okay. And I was like, no, dude.
I would be like, get that baby away from that man. Yeah.
Yeah, hold my baby at like 4 a.m. No.
Yeah.
No, but he says like, oh, this is a good kid. You take care of him or something like that to the wife.
Yeah.
And then the husband is like, I think he's like trying to put his foot down, like, hey, blah, 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 or whatever. And then they get a knock at the door. And then that's when he said, like, I thought you said you were alone. I thought you said you saw the kid and like, oh, no, we just heard the kid. So he goes and opens the door and the cop is there again. And like, what? And then they turn around and the cop is gone. And then he turns around again. And the cop is gone. I'm like, what?
The baby's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The baby's been randomly left someplace in the hotel again.
Yeah. That baby got to put a damn leash on it. It is everywhere in this movie. For fuck's sake, man.
Or maybe the baby was like, nah, I'll just like hang out down here. All this weird spooky shit's happening upstairs.
That was annoying me because they were like, as soon as they get the baby and they're kind of like onto what's going on and what the whatever's trying to haunt them in the hotel, they run away, they hide somewhere, and immediately the mother's putting the baby down. I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. The fucking baby. Get hold that fucking baby, for fuck's sake. Cause, yeah, it was that part kind of annoyed me.
Yeah, that, yeah, because what they ended up, even after all that, like you said, they kept putting the baby in the next room, right? Like, stop.
Yeah.
You've stop, already been having problems. Don't do that.
Yeah, I know. Man. I was just like, kind of just everywhere.
Which, I don't know. We should just get into spoilers, right?
Yes, let's get into deep spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So I want to talk about the wife first.
Okay.
Just all because right. I have a problem with it.
All right.
So her whole thing is she's dealing with the grief of lying to her husband.
Right.
Because at the beginning of the movie, she talks about how she was in back in Iran, like, by herself because her husband was in America, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was alone for a while. And what she didn't mention was until later when you find out that the kid she's seeing, the ghost kid that she's seeing is supposed to be whatever age the kid she was potentially going to have. Like, she was pregnant with her husband's child, but then he disappeared for a long time. And she was convinced that he wasn't going to come back. So she aborted the child, right?
Right, yeah.
And while all this is happening, you come to find out later that the husband is with somebody else.
Yeah.
So her whole deal is, I guess, like, that's why I thought, like, maybe they're in purgatory and they're trying to deal with, like, grief or guilt. That's, like, one of my two, like, big theories.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Like, one of three of them. And she was able to accept it. She was able to, like, come forth about it. But I was like, what? This is 2020, right? 2021. What kind of a subject or what kind of a topic is this? You're making a, bringing to light, making a woman feel bad about having an abortion or, you know, like, oh, she should feel guilty for lying to her husband or blah, 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 this. And it's like, I don't know. That's like her deal, her business. And then his thing about infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Little it's such unoriginal.
A, like, this isn't cool. This isn't like you, I don't know. You make her thing about potentially destroying her body and like dealing with like grief of like a life or whatnot. And then making her feel bad about having an abortion, which I'm also thinking might be a cultural thing. Whole thing was just fucking infidelity. And I'm like, okay, it bugged me. I didn't think it was cool.
I kind of felt like, I don't think they were passing like judgment on her choice. It was more that she didn't tell them. It was more that the secret that they had in their relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I felt like for him, you can assume that was the person he was cheating with, but it wasn't completely spelled out, I guess, for me. Did they explicitly say it at any point? Because I don't remember.
Yes and no. That also reverts back to the beginning. I had to rewatch the beginning.
Mm.
So when you find out that he was clearly cheating with somebody while she was away, and then when she finally came to America, he just like ended it with her.
Mm-hmm.
So she was grief-stricken, and she killed herself. And that's why at the end of the movie, when he's, like, going through, like, there's a lot of, like, oh, I'm having, like, trips or whatever. I'm having, like, acid trips. He starts to see all these visions, right? And one of them is, like, he's in that hospital, and he sees his friend, like, taking care of that woman. I think that's the first time he's seen that. But I thought it was a memory when I watched it the first time.
I thought so too. Yeah. I thought that was his wife because he had just stabbed her. But yeah, no. It was actually the girl that he was seeing.
Yes, and at the beginning of the movie, that's what that whole conversation was with the doctor, his friend the doctor, where he said, you know, you ever have those nights where, like, you know, somebody comes in and you know you can't do anything to save them. What are you talking about? He's like, I don't know if I should talk about it. He's like, come on, I'm here. You can't just, like, say it and not bring it up. He's like, okay, fine. But then they get interrupted. And then right before they leave, he's like, what were we going to talk about? I was like, no, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it then, because it was going to bring the whole thing down, bring the whole mood down of the night. So it was like that scene was happening earlier. So that's why that brings me to my second theory about the movie. She became like a witch or something and caused the accident. So he would have to go through all this with his wife. And then my third thing is, like, there's some sort of, like, I don't know, guilt demon, some sort of succubus type of thing going around and doing that. I keep thinking maybe it's purgatory. Maybe they were in critical condition when the car spun around and they just continued on with the movie past that, because that's when things get weird, right? And I'm thinking the reason the end of the movie ends with him waking up again at, like, 3 a.m. when it was supposed to be like daybreak almost, is because he's just going to keep reliving that same night. But the reason his wife and kid are asleep is because they're not there anymore.
Yeah, that's the way I interpret it too, that he wasn't able to tell his wife, like his wife told him about the abortion he had. So therefore they were freed and he stayed because he couldn't. He never accepted or wasn't able to tell his wife that he was cheating on her and all this stuff was happening, which leads me to believe that the toothache is his guilt. Kind of like how in like Macbeth, Lady Macbeth's hands, she's always trying to wash the blood. The toothache, I think, is sort of just a manifestation of that. Like, that it's guilt about the situation. And then, like, so because he was never able to say it, which kind of annoyed me because I was like, just tell her. You will end this whole thing. You'll be free. I got really annoyed. He tried so hard not to tell her. So then he eventually, that's the way I interpreted that scene, that he was now, quote unquote, a part of whatever that hotel is, just constantly reliving the same night over and over again because he wasn't able to tell the truth about.
So it made me think also that the homeless guy who was randomly speaking Farsi also was some sort of like what do you call that, the person that takes you across the river Styx, you know, I forgot. I mean, there's like, it's like all the people listening to this are just screaming like, it's just this, you asshole. And I'm like, yeah, I don't remember what the character's called. Like, maybe that was his role. I don't know. There's a lot going on. Like, it felt like he had one way out because he was able to get out of the hotel for a second. And then when he went back in, everything closed the doors. Like, it was giving him one opportunity to just run away from his problems again and not look back.
Yeah, but I think something was always going to happen. Like, oh, didn't he forget his keys? I think a lot of this movie hinges on whatever that that guy, the bum, says is like, what'd he say? The night continues unless you say something about the truth and the day comes or something right? Like that. Essentially meaning like just free yourself of whatever issues you have and then you'll be free. The hotel will free you for whatever reason, you know? So, it definitely has like a, you know, like a, like a, kind of like insidious kind of like force in that building. Do you think it's like the hotel that's that way? Well, or
I mean, yes and no. I think the hotel appeared because of, because like I said, when he runs over that cat, which becomes like a big, like, oh, this seems to be the driving force of what's going on.
Like a bad omen, right? Like a or black, like, cat. They run over a black cat or whatever.
Because also in that same scene when he runs over the black cat for the first time, he's like at the back of the car and he looks to the side and he's like trying to look at the cat and he sees the cat, but the cat's silhouette that he can only see the cat starts to grow into like a big person. And he's just like staring at it like, what the hell? But then they leave. So I think that's the beginning of that. Yeah. So I'm thinking the hotel appeared because this thing, whatever that force was, made it appear for them. And then that's why I think like Hotel Normandy is like a some sort of purgatory.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, this movie reminded me so much of like Barton Fink.
Oh, yeah.
How a ton of that movie is set in a hotel inside. Well, the hotel in Barton Fink represents like his mind and how his creativity and how he was like this, you know, all the characters in the hotel were subconsciously himself. Yeah,
like John Goodman like that, was so. Like his fun part.
Yeah, it's my part. John Goodman is a good time. Let's say that.
I worked with John Goodman once. What a pleasant, very quiet guy. You know, he seems real like he doesn't want to bother anybody. And I'm like, dude, this is John fucking Goodman, dude.
Yeah.
This guy played the Tyrannosaurus Rex and We're Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Yeah. America's dad, America's white trash dad.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have any last thoughts?
No. I mean, I like the movie. I liked it for what it was. I don't know if I could like rewatch this a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Just because like it's not going to answer some questions, so I think over time that would start to irritate me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, just explain like one thing.
I'm really happy that we watched it. So you caught the stuff in the beginning. Cause I think there's probably stuff there that speaks to now that I've seen it, will probably speak to much more of the intention of the movie. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So the big question is, how many spooky bones do you give it?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. Oof. Oh, what did that sound cue? Where are we supposed to show people our spooky bones?
No, it didn't. Keep your spooky bones in your pants.
That's what it said. Oh, okay. Sorry. God, that should be on a t-shirt. Keep your sexy spooky bones in your pants. I think I'm going to give this 5.5. Sexy spooky bones.
Excellent. I'm more or less the same way. I think I'll do 6.5 sexy spooky bones.
Nice. Very sexy bones.
Very sexy. 6.5 of it. Okay. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.